Okay,
Love Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Caleb Patterson, Midwest Muscle, here with P4P Real Talk, and we have a very good show tonight. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in the world. If you are a drug-free athlete and looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals, check us out at P4PMuscle.com. And now let's talk, and this is part two of my talk with the NGA president, Andy Bosito. This man is just the originator of just about everything that we know as far as natural bodybuilding. Andy, could you introduce yourself again, please?
Yeah. My name is Andrew Bosito. They all call me Andy. I'm the president of the National Gym Association, which is NGA. I founded it back in 1979. And just give you a brief. I think people are going to know, why do you start something? I guess people are pioneers in everything. Somebody starts something and believes in what they're doing. I always believed in that athletes, and I remember organizations before mine, way before, they didn't treat the athletes with the respect that they do. They treated them as a number.
Mm-hmm.
When an athlete trains and he diets and he spends money, travel, whatever, what I'm talking about today, years ago, you didn't find that much. People entered shows in their neighborhoods, or if they lived in New York City, they were from the Bronx or Brooklyn or Queens or whatever, and people didn't travel. Today, there are so many shows with so many titles that people want to achieve the titles. Natural bodybuilders, if it is to make money, I tell any bodybuilder, if it is to make money, don't become a bodybuilder, because that's not what it's all about. It's a very personal thing. You want to call it cult. You want to call it being an individual. You want to achieve, like a Michelangelo, what you can sculpt to your body, which sounds impossible. Even medical people don't know what you know and how to do it, yet they have all the tools and knowledges, but it's like everything else. I can give you tools to fix a car, but you wouldn't know how to fix the car, and yet you got the tools. And so is medical people. Not that I put them down in any way. It's a different field. I've trained doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs. I've trained almost everybody. Even when I was in the Army, all the time. And they used to ask me questions. Practical. See, we're good at practical. We're very practical people. Today, bodybuilding has become where you have to be a pharmacist. You got to know about products. You got to know about drugs. You got to know about everything. So when a pro athlete from baseball or football and says, oh, my coach put me on something. They said, well, what did he put you on? He says, I don't know. I think it was a vitamin. Well, anybody that's 20, 21 years old, are you trying to tell me you don't understand about what's out there as an athlete?
Yes.
You don't live in a basement or something like that. Well, this is what happened. Because to give the edge, people started to take steroids. There are a lot of athletes that are pro athletes from pro organization, nameless. Those guys look enormous, 5'10" tall, 300 pounds, ripped. It's incredible. A gorilla don't even look that way. And yet these people are saying it. But the same person, genetically, he would have made a good natural bodybuilder.
Yes.
I guess it becomes the almighty dollar and the competitive in a pro show that I got to have an edge over somebody else. So the guy who's natural says, he's got an edge over me. I got to get an edge over him. And that's the way it starts. And it doesn't end that way. And before you know it, they're finding out more different ways to grow. going way back, I think, in the 60s, even the products they took then were like taking candy compared to what they take today. Because if you look at the bodybuilders, even with Arnold and all that, and I know Arnold very well, Arnold looked good when he wasn't taking steroids. He was 255 pounds, 6'1 and a quarter. He had the type of physique that you would say was, I'll use the word, was a smoother look. I'm talking about not in contest shape. I'm talking about when he was making a movie. He looked good.
Yes, sir.
And the reason he went on the drugs during the Olympia is just to cut down, and he went down to 237. Well, that's another story. I don't want to get into that part, but I'm just giving you an idea that the people today who look that enormous, I can mention a name everybody knows, but I'm not going to do that either. And he won one of the shows back in 95 when he was natural. So I'm familiar with a lot of things that people don't realize. Drugs, it's hard to get rid of. You're dealing with young people. Give you an example. When I came out of the Army, I was 21. They said, oh, the government is going to give you $3 a day for in the States, $4 a day for overseas. You'll get a $1,500 check. I was wondering when. They said, in about 10 years. I said, Jesus, I'll be 30, 31 years old. I'll be too old to enjoy it. You see, nobody thinks differently than I just said to you. I was in the Army. I had a guy who was 25. I was 18. And I said to him, what are they doing with an old guy like you? Look at my, maybe years ago, I'm not as sharp as the guys are today, would you say, with good education. Because years ago, you went to high school, you were doing pretty good because things were very bad at that particular time. You go out and you work. Well, anyway, same thing. You appreciate everything in a natural way, and you appreciate what you accomplish working out. You did it for yourself. We didn't do it for money. And at that time, we got passes for, I'm going way back, or they'll give you a little trophy or whatever, and you were happy about it. Boy, look what I achieved. I got to work more on my legs. I got to do this. But it was different then. Today, how much money do I get going into a show? Well, even though at the Pro Universe, we're giving out $11,600, providing we get the athletes in the pro division, somebody in each division. Well, it's not a lot of money. And I'm saying it, it's not a lot of money. But it's a lot of money when you don't get sponsors that give you $5,000 or $10,000 and all that stuff. We don't get it. We're lucky we get one that, and I will mention a company that gives us something. But it's still a big amount. And we don't make that much money on a show. If anybody knows about running shows, if he's not running a pro show, I know how much it would cost him to run that show. He'll probably, if he gets X amount, he'll probably break even. If he made $1,000 or $2,000, that's not a lot of money. You got to work on it for 6 months. It's a lot of work. So people are under the wrong thoughts about we make a lot of money. You don't. You do it because you love it. If somebody wants to promote a show with me, you know what I say now? I've reached this point. Why do you want to run a show? If you think you're going to make money, my advice is don't run the show. And if you think it's not going to be a lot of hard work, you got another guest coming. You got to tell me the reason why. If you have a passion to do something for natural bodybuilding, I'd like you to promote a show, and I'll help you all the way. We do more for a promoter than any organization. They'll try to catch up now. And the reason they can't do what we do for the athlete and the promotion, and when we get an athlete, we put them on Facebook, we put them on whatever. We do a lot of things in marketing for them. And for the promoter, we send out their posters to over 7,000 athletes. We do a lot of things. But once you pay a sanction, we take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
You got to do your end also. You start any business, you got to show the person that's going to invest in your business that you're doing something on your own. You're not depending upon somebody helping you, and you sit back. Promoting a show is a big responsibility. And all the promoters that stood with me, they are what I call is real people with integrity who believe in something. Like when I make donations, I don't get nothing in return. Yes, I do. I get the satisfaction of knowing I'm helping somebody, providing the money goes where it's supposed to go. In my organization, when I run a show, if somebody wanted to put up a couple of thousand, say, I want to put money towards your 11,600, I says, all right, make it out to the athlete who places or wins. So you're not giving Andy Bustinto a nickel. You're going to give it to the athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And we incur all the expense of running a show. And today, where I live in Florida, give you an example. Schools now used to get them. I used to have a school in Coral Springs. I went to the principal. He knows us. He says, can't find a date for you. And I said, why? He says, religious organizations buy up the whole year. You're kidding me. But doesn't leave room for nobody else. Well, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Go to another one. If you were paying $2,500 or $2,000 a couple of years ago, now they give me a bill of $4,200.
Wow.
Athletes don't realize. I went to look at a place from a university here. It was beautiful and all that. $10,000. How could you make up $10,000? The other organization can do it. They get 1,600 athletes. I don't know where they get, but they get 1,600 athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And 1,500 of them never see the stage because they're eliminated.
Yes.
Anyway, I'm just giving you ideas that there's a misconception. Or a conception that, oh, these bodybuilders and people run contests, they're making money. And I will name this other person who had a magazine. Oh, no, you guys are making money. I said, do you ever run a show before? He said, no, I don't want to run shows. I just want to take care of the athletes and, you know, give them exposure for being a natural athlete and all that. He said, I have no intention. I said, well, I don't trust anybody, to be honest with you. Because I've had incidents with other people who run magazines, did the same thing. Then all of a sudden, they run a show and they start an organization. And sure enough, this person starts an organization and runs a show. So when people say, you know, looking at the outside, we all look at in colored glasses, it looks nice, and you say, gee, why don't you all get together, hold hands, kiss each other, get together, we can do something. That's in a fairy tale book. You can't even get government, Republicans, Democrats, independent, socialists, to see eye to eye. You're Muslims, Catholics, Protestants, this. Everybody has their own little ideology, have their own different ways that they believe that they're right and they want the followers to follow them. Ours is simple. It's in sports. We don't want kids to take drugs. Develop your own bodies. And when you develop your own bodies, you got good genetics or you got bad genetics, whatever it may be, but you can reach your potential to what you can achieve by training, diet, sleep. Years ago, I never took anything, nothing, because I couldn't afford anything. I couldn't afford food. We were poor at that time. What was it to go out and buy? Yes, years ago, and I'm going years ago, there was liver pills, desiccated liver, Argentina desiccated liver. No hormones in it, no nothing. It was a natural thing. You used to get a whole bottle of $5, like 500 or whatever. So things were different. Now, you got to be a chemist to understand. I get calls every day. I don't want to say calls, emails every day. I'm taking this product. I said, spell it. I can't even pronounce it. Never heard of it. I can't follow up on every. Do you know how many products must be out there now? Today they got a product. Tomorrow they change the product. Next day they change the product. And some of the products, I believe, don't work to begin with. So you don't know where that you're coming from. You don't start to trust anything. I've learned something from an old Italian who owned pizza places. He used to say, when somebody wanted to open up a store, he says, don't tell me, show me what you can do. Everybody talks, but nobody does anything. Everybody's good with words today. They can take a positive thing and change it into a negative, or take a negative and make it positive. You see it in your politics. Because there are followers and there are leaders. And I don't want to say the same thing. Oh, I said 42% of the country are followers. That's why people get elected. Because they give. I'll give you this. I'll give you that. Why work? Why work? Government will take care of you. This is what you're dealing with. Maybe I'm going off the track, but I'm just trying to give you. Am I going off the track a little bit?
You're fine, Andy. You're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. Somebody said, hey, why don't you run for a political office? I said, if I did, nobody would vote for me. They said, why? I just because I tell the truth. They would never vote. Never, never vote for me. I don't fit in the. Anyway. Well, that's why. So when we started, the reason I started the organization was because I didn't like the way organizations previous to 1979 and before. I didn't like the way they treated. I didn't like the way they run shows. I didn't like the prejudice in the shows. Prejudice. I've seen prejudice in magazines. Who goes on a cover, who doesn't go on a cover. I've seen all of this stuff. It's true. And I says, not called for. It's not right. And so when we got together, we said, look, we don't need politics. Just do the right things.
Yes.
We were all friends. We knew all the gym owners. That's how we got together. Because the athletes trained in gyms. So we used to go and have dinner together. We used to meet at Lenny's Clam Bar or a restaurant, and we talk, and we talk about different things about the sport because that's all we knew, bodybuilding, working out. And Arnold even came to one of our lectures back in the 80s. So this goes back a while. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you that. That's a good one. I can mention his name there because it's positive. Arnold was going to demonstrate, and I was going to talk talk about the exercise, what it does for you, and so on and so forth. And what happened was a guy gets up and he says, let me ask you a question. I know all this. How do I get big? I know everything you're saying. I know all these exercises. I've been working out, but I want to get bigger. He wanted to hear about steroids.
Mm-hmm.
And which we didn't do. So you see, we went through this so long. I saw guys from my gym die, getting off steroids, affecting their immune system, and pneumonia, dropped dead. Another one ripped, he was fat, he got ripped, shredded. I says, one day you're going to just die. He died before a contest. You pay for your success in life. And you got to find out what you can give back. You see, what people forget, God has been good to me. I think it's got to give something back to a sport. I believe I could have done something. We don't need politics. We don't need drugs. So we started the organization, and then I'll just jump a little bit. And I actually was going to pack in the NGA 25 years ago. I was thinking about it because, you know why?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't take the politics any longer because it's like fighting in a vacuum. I didn't have the money. I didn't have somebody to back me. I don't want to say back me, but to support me in what I do. And even today, I don't have support for the NGA. I don't want to jump again, but I'm going to go back to then. So my idea was, look, all we do is do the right thing. Treat the athlete with total respect. Be accommodating. Run a show with no prejudices in the show. I know judging is subjective. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
As long as we know that the scoring is fair. And the scoring, I don't intervene in the show. When I start a show, everybody that is under me knows their position. If it's backstage, the MC, the DJ, or the judges, whatever. I have like Paul Hendricks. He takes care of all my judging. The guy is as honorable as the day is long. And when I know he's taken care, I don't worry about nothing. But if I look up on stage and I see something questionable, I don't mean with Paul, don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, if I see, why did he pick this one instead of that one? So what I do is I review the judges' sheets the next day. My wife does it also.
Mm-hmm.
And I, who's this? Who's the guy? Is there any relationship? And I say, let's see how he judged other people. You follow what I'm doing?
Yes.
So I check on somebody in a way, but I don't interfere with the show. I don't go over and tell somebody, hey, that guy looks good. Oh, that girl, oh, boy. I don't care who wins. Do you think I want to ruin my reputation to have somebody win? That's
mm-hmm.
stupid.
Yes.
So we had principles, and Paul has principles like I have. He's been with me for the 25 years. And we form a good organization with a lot of things that we offer. We have grown until about 5 years ago. Just go back again, which I mentioned before. My wife quit a big job, making a lot of money, 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Benefits, 30 days vacation, retirement plan. And then 25 years ago, I says, want to quit your job? And I says, I'm going to revamp the whole organization. I got to jump a little bit. It's getting a little mixed. All right, at that time, 25 years ago, is when I thought I was going to pack it in because I just got tired of the politics.
Mm-hmm.
Without any organizations. But one person came to me who ran a magazine. He says, Andy, I think I mentioned it in my last talk. They're going to have a meeting of all these small little organizations, and we want to get them all together. We can all work together. I said, it won't work. He said, you going to come? I said, no. He had the meeting, and it didn't work. I'm cutting it short. Mm-hmm. It didn't work. So he says, why don't you come along, Andy? I got the magazine now. We can publicize the NGA. That's what you needed more than anything else. I said, I don't know. I said, I'm just tired of the politics. I just can't. I can't put up with it. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you do, I promise you that we'll back you all the way as far as publicizing NGA.
Mm-hmm.
We were in a Chinese restaurant. And nobody can argue on this. And I came up with the initials for his pro organization. A lot of people don't know a lot of things. He says, Andy, that sounds pretty good. He says, yeah. I says, look, if you want to run the pro division, I'll run the amateur division, just like the other organization does. They got a pro and an amateur. I mm-hmm. says, I can make this organization grow. Because I know how to do it. He says, yeah, that's good. All right. I said, so we had to revamp my organization. And it was working out good up until the Twin Towers, about 2000. I get a letter. Oh, I moved to Florida from New York. They figure, well, maybe he's getting older, he wants to retire, you know, he's got a baby and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe now I can really take over the NGA.
Mm-hmm.
Because he never wanted to accept my advice anymore, and the other guy was always fear of my advice. He thought I was threatening. I wasn't threatening. He never realized a guy like myself, when I shake your hand, it's a deal. I don't cut you off.
Yeah.
I wanted to help. I wanted it to grow. So people take that as a threatening to themselves because of their own insecurity, not mine, theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And when they sent me it was called like a Dear John letter. I won't even repeat the whole letter. When I got that letter and I called him back, you couldn't imagine what I said to him.
I'm going
to bring another organization equal to yours, be under this organization. I almost said it. I says, never happened. I says, I would burn the organization up before I let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And from that day, we separated. That night, I went to bed. My wife was crying. How could they do this to you? So when you tell me about people who love you, like he says, you're like my brother, that person, how do you expect me to believe people? You got to prove what you say. Talk.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. I hate you. 1 second, you can change your mind. You love somebody, then you hate them. So I woke up in the morning. I said, I know what we're going to do. We're going to run a pro show, not only an amateur show. We're going to run a pro show. Well, once I started that, I said, all right. I said, well, change all the paperwork again. We're going to revamp it again. We're going to have a tier system. We're going to do certain things. And we're going to promote a pro division.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever thought of doing that. I says, I knew what to do. And we ran the first pro show. And then he says, well, Andy won't last more than a year because he had the magazine. And there may be people who are listening to this program now. They were my promoters. They were my chair people. Still chair people. They left me. And the Texas chairperson left me. Why? Andy, you're the greatest guy, the same old thing, pat you on the butt, we love you, this and that. We had to go with them. It was a good business deal. It was a good business venture.
Mm-hmm.
And the person, I'll tell you one more so you can see how deep this goes. The person who's the godfather to my daughter, he went against me. He says, Andy, you can't fight them. They got money. You don't have money. And they got the magazine. So you see what I was up against?
Yes, sir.
These small organizations, do they realize what I was up against? I said, all the more. I got mad. I said, I know what to do. I knew what to do. When you don't know what to do, then you're lost.
Mm-hmm.
So even the people who I thought, and I got all the, by the way, I got letters from everyone who was a chairperson to me when they resigned being an NGA promoter and chairperson. I got their letters. I have letters of Joe Gold. You heard of Joe Gold?
Yes, sir.
Joe Gold owned all the Gold Gyms. I got his letter. He was an NGA member. I got letters from more people than you can shake a stick at. But I don't use them, but I use them so when I say something, they can't say Andy is full of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I prove everything I say. And it came up to, we started the organization. We were the only ones in Florida. And then there was an organization that runs the shows in Florida. They were in a drug testing show. They had about, I don't know, 20 shows or something. They didn't want to see me here.
I bet they did.
Another competition and fight that I had to get started with a natural organization. I says, one day I'll hit the four corners of Florida. I'll hit Tampa, Orlando, Miami, and Coral Springs. That's four. Now I ended up with eight. I got home in Beach. I planned it all. I got it. Then in New Jersey, Paul Hendricks started to run the shows, help him out to build it up. He's got about four shows already, and he's now overseeing about seven or eight shows. It all took planning and desire to what you want to accomplish. So, when little organizations, my question is always to them. If you believe in natural bodybuilding, why are you starting another organization to be one of 40 more organizations just to satisfy your own little ego of your own little territory that the athletes can't go anyplace because of your little shows? Why? Why did you really start? Was it from your heart? Why? What were you going to do so differently for an athlete that you couldn't have supported an organization that had reputation?
Mm-hmm.
You can understand if you said,
yes,
well, I don't like this organization, that organization. But you can go on my website. I tell them, go on my website. You'll know all about me. Check me out. Let me check you out. Who are you? Oh, I'm a bodybuilder. So what? Has nothing to do with what you have inside to do for something other than yourself. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the reason why I don't get together. Right now, I'll tell you what's happening now. All of a sudden, get an organization that started 2 years ago. He's growing. He's got a good way about him. He gets people to run a show. And he tries to tell the ones who run our shows, well, you know, you can always bring your pamphlets to my show and I'll feature them for you and then I can do the same thing for you. Well, all that really does is neutralize what we're doing in a way. Because don't you realize that he's riding on the backs of the NGA?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you want somebody to be known, you say, oh, yeah, that organization, yeah, we treat him pretty good. He comes along. We give it. Oh, all of a sudden, you give him credibility. For what reason? He was 3 years ago, he was a competitor. I'm just giving you an idea what I go through. And my whole goal in life was one day I was hoping that the NJ could be known as the premier natural bodybuilding organization, and then we can go into Europe and then try to be accepted as Olympics. And then I was told, well, it'll never happen because you got to get 144 countries. Well, if you can have pitching pennies in the Olympics or somebody rolling a damn ball on the floor, whatever they call it, if that's a sport, bodybuilding is a sport. Archery, it's an art, it's a sport.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't this be a sport? To show what you can do with a human being from point A to point B and to accomplish that, where most people would love to reach that their point where they can, I don't mean develop themselves as a bodybuilder, but to bring themselves to look like a real person instead of buying a $2,000 suit to look better.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
I went into other things. I wrote a book. I wrote a book about the weaknesses and strengths of people and things you hold within yourself and your inner self. Maybe with all the people I... This will be my last interview with you because I don't want to repeat everything I'm saying because as I'm talking to you, my mind is coming up with different things at different times.
Mm-hmm.
So, Todd, I don't have a script.
I don't when think I, you need one.
Huh?
I said, I don't think you need one.
When I was doing the book, I trained millionaires. I trained a couple of billionaires, producers, directors. Oh, I trained cardiologists, chiropractors, optometrists. You name them, I've trained them.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that was our field. I did it even in the Army, even when I come out of the Army, for rehabilitation. I knew the practical end of many things. You got the theory, but you read the theory, and then I knew how to apply it in a practical manner without mm-hmm. in person. I know what it is to feel, to do a movement, or to look at somebody, and I can see the signs of osteoporosis, I can see kyphosis, I can see little things about this structure as they're aging. When you're 40 or 50 or 60, I can see the aging. I can hear it mm-hmm. in your speech. I don't think I'm that brilliant. It's just that the experience that I've seen, and if you take anybody who's been in as long as me, you will see the same thing.
Yes.
Like my doctor, I even told him, I says, you're getting kyphosis. Look at your back. I just, you know, standing straight, you got to lose weight. So people say, you told that to your doctor? Well, he tells me what I needed. And if he may say I had high blood pressure, low blood pressure, or whatever, I got diabetes, he tells me, right? Well, I told him what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't give trouble because they know me pretty well. And I don't want to go into another thing, but that's another story. But anyway, I'm just of all the things that enter. And I always said this when I wrote a book. I says, if I took 50 people, even 25 people, one could be a lawyer, Indian chief, he can be a military man, he can be a doctor, or he can be sanitation, or he can be a post office worker, whatever, and a businessman, executive. And I put them in the room and I says, I want you to remove all your clothes. Okay. Then I say to you, Caitlin, pick out who's who. Well, how could you do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know why you can't do it? Because there was no identity to the person. True?
Yes, sir.
Well, because everybody is the same. People got to have identity. I'm Dr. So-and-so, or I'm a physicist. Whatever you are, you put a title to have somebody know who you are. Mr. America, Mr. World, Mr. Olympia, whatever. Everybody has to have a title.
Mm-hmm.
And people will spend more money on their automobile, wealthy people, and I've been there. That car is polished every day. Mechanically, it's taken care of all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Person is always well-dressed, made-to-order suits. And yet, underneath that suit, he needs a lot of repair work for himself. But yet they'll take more care and have more knowledge about their car than themselves. True?
That's true. That's very
true.
Well,
time, they say, well, God has given you a body. You can take care of it or you can destroy it. And I don't want to get into elderly people and all that. That's another story. But there's a lot. There's so much. It goes, one thing goes into something, it goes into something, and you may say, what has that got to do with bodybuilding? It has to do with...
It's got everything to do with it.
Everything to do with it. So, we're up to this point now that I think 2016 is going to tell us another story where we're going, because we reached totaling amateur shows and totaling the pro shows. Combining the two, we have 90 shows. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
That's
so
an awful
lot. We're wondering where we're going to go in 2017. And then also, we're also going into Canada. We're going into Canada right now. Now, that's going to be another venture. I'll know by November how Toronto, Canada is going to work out. We also have a representative there that's going to represent all NGA shows, natural shows. And then we also got Europe. We got Marco Vendetti. He's the president of the IBBN, which is an Italian organization.
Mm-hmm.
So we're into Italy, and we're going to give them a title. It will be NGA Europe, NGA Toronto, or Canada, and we'll see how it works out. I throw it out and see if it works. I try anything. I don't give up. That's why it takes me 7 days a week to be involved with the NGA. When I drive, go to the bathroom, I take the phone with me. I never know when I'm going to get a call. Ask any promoter if he would do the things I'm doing. You give up, you pay for this. I'm lucky, my wife Francine, she gets up 5 o'clock in the morning, she's back on the computer, on the Facebook and placing things. She's totally involved in it, which I'm glad, because if she wasn't, I would lose her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to burn her out. I keep thinking of different things. He says, what are you up to now? I says, I'm going to tell you this one. When it works out, I'll tell you.
That's a smart man.
Well, I got to protect people who are around me because I got to watch out that I don't burn you out. So I know about how to handle somebody, not to put them into an overdrive where it's beyond his capacity, because there's a Peter principle in life that people are very functional up to a certain point. If you gave them more to do, they'd be in frustration because they say, I don't know how to do that. I've never done that before. Well, you never experienced moving past what you do. Same thing in training. Oh, it's the most I can lift. Is it? I proved to you can do more. It's your mind that quits. So you see how things can be applied?
Mm-hmm. You're preaching to the choir right now.
Well, that's all I really wanted to say to you and where we're going from here on. God only knows. He must be saying, give Andy a break. He put enough time in it. Oh, I never told you this. 5 years ago, when we were reaching the point that we had to grow, my wife and I put in money back into the NGA to upgrade our website, put some money in. We had to do it. And I've been funding it. I never took a salary in 35 years. Because if I took a salary, they couldn't afford. Not that I'm bragging. What are you going to pay me? Minimum wage? So I didn't take money. I wanted to invest it and build it. And I came up with the certification course for trainers. I think it's the best course out there. That's another thing. People say, well, how are you going to do that? You're not a PhD, Andy. I says, no, I'm more than a PhD. I'm a professor of PhD. I says, I know how to do things. That's all. If I owned the biggest car company in the world, you know how to build a car? You don't know how to build a car. You know how to get it together. You know what to hire designers and mechanics and whatever you do, and you build it. But it's you.
Mm-hmm.
I knew what to do. I had everything rewritten in the style that I wanted to be written in that reads to a trainer. Nobody thought of that. Why? Because I'm a PhD. I don't write that simple. I got to write where it's confusing. So they think how smart I am. Even in speeches, or you get something from your lawyer, or you get something from your accountant, or you get something from the bank. You read it, you say, what the hell are they saying? They're going to simplify it, right? But they don't want nothing simple. Because most of us are morons to be with.
That's a good one, Andy. That is a good one.
I told mine, I said, you know, I want to know one thing. How much I paid you? How much interest I'm getting? How long do I have to keep this? And that's all I want, profits and losses. The rest I leave to you. I said, if I'm going to get into business, then I might as well do it myself. That's why I hire you. But these are the things I want from you. So I keep them on your toes. I'll be honest with you, Caleb. I'm the easiest guy to get along with. I don't screw nobody. I never borrowed money, never owed money, loaned money, which is a big mistake, because you lose your friends.
Yes, that's true.
But if I like somebody, I'll give it to them and say, don't worry about it. This is what I want to do for you. So I'll leave them off the hook. When somebody says, no, I'm going to pay you back with interest, pay you back with interest. You're going to pay me back. You're going to give me interest on it, too? Anyway, I'm getting off the track, I think. Anyway.
No, you're doing fine.
Anyway. Oh, there's so much more, but I don't know. Ask me something.
Well, I'd like to ask about the NGA, and, you know, when what are the things that basically defines the physique look from the bodybuilding look?
That's not difficult. When you look at a bodybuilder, he diets, gets ripped, all this shredded. I don't like those words to begin with. Well, first of all, you got to know about genetics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Italian. I get big lats, big chest, arms, whatever. But I don't get ripped. Even if I went down, I went from 187.5 to 160. I don't get ripped. I get hard looking, muscular. And then you'll get a guy who's shredded and ripped, but that doesn't make a physique.
Mm-hmm.
You got lost in what a physique should be. Balance and symmetry, you know, tie-ins of calves and quads and hips and whatever. You know, years ago was a Steve Reeves look. For a natural guy, today he couldn't place in the show. True? Arnold
mm-hmm.
could never win an Olympia today. Never. Lou Ferrigno, who's a friend of mine, he couldn't win the Olympia if he tried. He said to me one day, he says, Andy, I'm 6'5". I was weighing, near 300. When he was training in my gym, he was about 300. And in the contest, I think he was 265. Something like that. He says, you got guys 5'5", 5'6", that weigh 265 pounds. How could you beat them?
Mm-hmm.
This is what happened with bodybuilding. Now, to get back to your question. So, in bodybuilding, that's what we look for. You look for muscularity, balance, and symmetry. You try to get all these things, but you got to be dieting, and ripped, and however you get ripped like you do. With men's physique, you can have a good quality physique. I'll give you an example. When I was doing high bar work, I had a good physique. I had abs, obliques, I had everything. I didn't
mm-hmm.
have legs because I was doing gymnastics. In gymnastics, you're not doing heavy squats and you're not doing leg extensions. You're doing springs, old spring jumps, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's more practical for a guy to get in good shape. The picture I had in the magazine. You saw my video?
Yes, sir.
Remember the picture when I was 17?
Mm-hmm.
That was the first picture in Strength and Health magazine. At that
oh, wow.
time, I was 17.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, that was considered for artists. I posed for Art Students League and a lot of places like that. I used to sculpt them. But that was a physique then. But then, where did you get the size? All of a sudden, as you mature, you get a little bigger, bigger, and bigger. But when you're young, and that's how it all started. I never was big, but until I got up into my 40s, when I had good potentials for a big back, because I was a dipper and chinner. I used to do dips and chins. Two-fingered, one-hand chins. I did all that stuff. Anyway, that's a different era. And you saw the handstands and all. That's what we did years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We had good natural physiques. And that's what it was all about. And that's without taking all these supplements that they're taking today because we couldn't afford it years ago. Couldn't afford proteins and protein powders and all that. They would give you, they made protein with a lot of sugar in it so to make you gain weight and get diabetes also. Anyway, so it was a different time. It moves up,
mm-hmm.
and I think today appreciate a well-built, classical, balanced with good symmetry physique. And muscular development. not vainly development, muscular. If you got muscular development, you want to go beyond that and strip away all the muscular development to see the veins?
Mm-hmm.
For what reason? The quality, then it takes away the beauty. Veins don't make the body a beautiful physique, does it? You go, oh, my God, that's... Anyway, I'm going to find enemies, me saying that. Well, anyway, anything else?
No, that's because it's I notice more and more men's physique is coming into the shows.
Right.
And sometimes during the crossover, you have where the men's physique is also winning the bodybuilding. And I was thinking, how can that be if the criteria is different?
Well, you usually don't, because then you start to judge their legs. No, it's not true. If you took a guy who's a bodybuilder who has abs and quads, he has abs and pecs and intercostals, and he has all that, and he's got good legs and calves, no. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Then you say the guy who's the men's physique has got to have legs. Right? To beat the guy who's a bodybuilder. Because the guy who's a bodybuilder maybe has more genetics than the guy who's men's physique. I saw some great physiques in men. Men's physique.
Mm-hmm.
Symmetry on it. But we didn't look at their legs, you got to remember. When you look at bodybuilding, you look at everything. Right or wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Legs are the biggest part. When you see a pro bodybuilder, what do you say? He's got weak calves. And that's a genetic factor in a lot of people. Then you take people from this, what would you say, from France or Germany or whatever. Their genetics are different than people who are Spanish, or not Spanish. Spanish is more like the Italians also. We got these thicker hip structures, and blacks have more of a smaller hip structure. They got little waist. Italians have broader waist, like power, but different physiques. It's genetic. You saw it. You ought to know.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
So, you deal with what you have. What?
Yes, sir.
You build what you have, whatever it is, to make it pleasing. You can build it into good symmetry, good balance, good posing. Because if you took, going back, if you went to Italy and you saw all the stone of different powerful men that were in going back into the Roman days, they showed you the thick waist and the obliques and the big thick abdominals and thickness of the athlete, right? Do you remember?
Mm-hmm.
David or whatever. So it's different. So you deal with genetics, and what you do is you build them up to the best of your genetic. I got weak points, but you train the best you can. And when you're on stage, you don't hide them, because I'll see them. You'll let them blend in with your whole physique. See?
Yes, sir.
Well, we covered that part, too. You know, there's so much. There's so much. Anyway, I wasn't prepared tonight for this talk, because I had company tonight.
And no, that's not. I thank you for doing the show with me, as always, and it's always a pleasure talking. And as with me being a big historian, it's always a joy to get a chance to talk to you.
Well, I try my best. My main thing is what I try to do is to bring up my experiences, because it does mean, because whatever I did was right or wrong or whatever. If I can just offer some, not advice, but the things that I went through to help a younger person to understand what it was years ago. Today, it changes because you have nothing to compare it with as a young person. Whatever you read, you've been influenced what you read. Just because what you read, you don't know who wrote it, where they're coming from, what their passions were, or what they're trying to brainwash you with. I'm telling you what was practical. Coming from poor backgrounds and all that. I just told somebody the other day, you know, I realized one thing. I never had a picture when I was born or when I was four, 2 or 3 or 4 years old. I never had a picture of me. And I said, I wonder if I was ever born. We were poor. I don't think I had a picture until I was 8 years old. I don't remember. That's unheard of. It's unheard of. Where'd you ever hear of that? I don't care how poor a person is. They got pictures and albums. I ain't got no albums with me. Nothing. Only you got pictures of me when I was posing about 15 and 16. That's the only picture I have. Nothing before that. Sounds incredible, doesn't it? Well, I guess I was born. I'm still here.
Exactly.
So I want people to know whatever you want to achieve, you got to put 100% into it. Have a direction, plan it, initiate it, work hard at it. Don't think about money. If you think about money, you'll get discouraged because if it doesn't work, you know what happens? Oh, I'm giving that up. Well, people become billionaires and millionaires. Some people are scientists, developers, engineers. They develop certain things. I have such admiration when I see people. I watch how things are made and how things are developed. I look at things in TVs. I say, I'd like to know how they get all this into a chip. Oh, what they do is, no. I want to break down. I want to see everybody that's involved in that, how that got into that chip. I want to know right from the beginning. I'll separate it so much that I'll drive you crazy. It's so hard for me to understand it. I want to understand these things. That's the way I am. People take TV. I still say the transmission of all this through airwaves and all that. Kids say, well, it's the way it's done. No, I got to see it much more. I got to understand much more about it. I wish I can absorb all the things I want to know. I drive myself crazy. I like to know about I want how to make machines. I said, how the hell did they make a machine with so many functions on it? Well, who's on it? You got a designer? I keep thinking of how things are being done. That's the way my mind works. I can't help it. I'm too analytical. Anyway.
You get a passion, that's for sure.
Yeah, and sometimes I wonder. I should have been like everybody else. You know, sometimes it affects you because you're always analyzing things. And I'm not smart. I'm not a brilliant guy. I look at everything, analyze everything. For what reason? I guess this is the way my makeup is. Maybe that's why I read the NGA.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I appreciate the I hope I didn't go off too much because there's a lot of things I hold back, you know. I don't want to, a lot of things because I'm not looking for controversy. I was just looking to let you know what it took for me and my wife to get to this point and to show what people who are coming into it, what are their reasons for it. It was money. It was definitely money, money. Money. And I can go on with that too, but I don't do it. It's because if the shoe fits, you wear it. and not to give them recognition. And that's my words of tonight. How does that, what time is it, by the way?
It's that time, Mr. Buster.
Huh?
It's that time, but
I finished the hour?
Sure.
Well, anything you want to ask me, Kalen, before I go?
No, you covered everything that I had, but especially the part about the physique and the bodybuilding, because I think that's something, you know, because I know there's a difference between bikini figure and female bodybuilding, but I think some of the lines were getting blurred between the men's physique and the men's bodybuilding, and I was hoping that was being addressed, and you've already said that, yes, it has been, and it's being dealt with. So I'm good.
Yeah, we deal with it. Because even if guy's got a good physique, just because he's ripped and all that and he puts on a pair of trunks, it doesn't make him men's physique. Because we're not looking for the ripped, and we're looking for the balance and symmetry of a guy like a model. Bodybuilding has decreased. I know what goes on. You got to remember, we got shows all over the country. It isn't that you say, I know a guy who's running a show, he says, boy, bodybuilding is going. I can tell you women's bodybuilding has decreased. A lot of women's bodies are going to women's physique. What they do is they train down. They don't have to diet as much. They don't have the veins. They can be more natural because they got natural attributes. They got nice legs, whatever, calves, whatever. And they apply it to the physique, figure rather. Everything is going to change. There'll be more changes. I can predict changes of something else in maybe 5 or 10 years.
Yeah.
You'll see a female posing against a male for a championship. You'll see a lot of things. But drugs, I feel sorry for the people. I know all of them who took drugs. They all suffered. I lost a lot of friends. You got to remember, I don't mention all the pros. You got to remember, I know a lot of the people. I don't mention them too much because people say, oh, he was involved with these. You see, I think about what I know people are going to think about, because people don't just say to you, you know, I like what you're saying. Oh, you're saying that, but I remember you were friends with Frigno and Franco and this and that. Hey, one thing has nothing to do with another. I judged the Olympians, going right back. I knew them all. I judged another organization that had a lot of top bodybuilders that you would know. I judged them all. We had natural bodybuilders going into until we start to differentiate what we're going to do. Anyway, that's another story in itself. And maybe one day you'll know. All right, Kalen?
All right.
All right, I want to thank you for the opportunity, and I just want all my promoters and athletes and anybody who listens to the program, I hope I did it a service and a justice to our organization. And I hope I didn't take offense to anybody. It wasn't meant to be that way. I'm just expressing exactly what I went through. And we talk about integrity. We talk about all the things in character. This is what we talk about. And I'd like people to look at themselves and see how they fall into those areas and what their life is about and how they can benefit from having a set of standards that they can live by, regardless of as long as it's a positive standard. Geez, now I'm going into something else. Anyway, Kalen, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I want them to understand it too. So thank all my supporters. I really appreciate it. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be where I am. Okay? I'll say goodnight.
Yes, sir. All right. Good night, Andy. Thank you.
Good night.
Have a great one.
Well, there you have your history. And like you said, he had company in the background, and I hope it didn't bother anyone. Andy's always a true, legitimate gentleman. And trust me, he definitely did not want to step on any toes. And if anybody felt offended, I'm sure that's just from your heart and not from his. We have Desiree coming up Thursday. She's got her own show. She's got a genius wizard, a guru, if you want to say. And he's going to talk about nutrition and enlighten us about the positive aspects about doing natural shows, doing natural competitions, being natural in life and healthy. As you go about living, you know, don't think about just the stage and getting on it and how you're going to look, but how you're going to look and how you do with your children, your families, your friends, and everything. And it all comes from nutrition, that comes from exercise, and that comes from positive mentality. So for everybody out there, don't be afraid to be healthy. Don't be afraid to be fit. And don't be afraid to ask questions about either, because that's the only way you'll learn. So God bless everybody, and good night. We are out.